Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to worship today. I was just checking to see if Roy Berg is... Yeah, you're here, Roy.
I'm surprised you came. I didn't check to see if
he's here. Nice to have you here. What a beautiful, beautiful weekend we're having. I hope you're enjoying it. Someone said last year, about Wednesday or Thursday on that date, we had like 8 inches of snow. Is that right? That's what they said. No, I don't remember. Did they have the right month? October? We're going to enjoy it. Everybody take a deep breath. The leaves are beautiful, even if they're falling. Big week in church this week. Of course, our bazaar is Saturday. There's setup times that are listed in your bulletin. If you'd like to volunteer to help, there's sheets available in the fellowship hall. Also, if you haven't gotten your flu shot, if you'd like, on Wednesday morning, it's listed in your bulletin. Come on over and get protected. What else? There's a couple. Oh, we're having a baptism today. That's pretty neat. Sheila Penoyer's grandson. Pick ditches. Oh, yeah. Tuesday afternoon, 1 o'clock. If you'd like to help pick our 3 miles, that would be good. It's going to be a nice afternoon. And all the rest, oh, if you need your lutefisk fix, after the bazaar next week, go on out to Holden. Now, I don't see that grimacing. You can have the meatballs. Your hubby can have the lutefisk. But there's a lot of dinners out there, too. So everyone's invited to receive Holy Communion. Everyone is welcome at the table of our Lord. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for smiling upon us this week and for our whole lives, really. You bless us beyond measure. You love us and care for us. You forgive us. You give us hope and joy and peace. And these are gifts that often we don't deserve, and yet you love us. And so we gather to say thank you this morning and to worship you for accepting us into your kingdom. Send your spirit now, Lord, to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning, Blessed Assurance, will rise during the singing of the last verse.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the sovereign over all the earth, the wisdom from on high, our merciful judge and Savior.
Amen.
Let us boldly approach the throne of grace, trusting in God's mercy and love. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Generous and faithful God, we confess to you all the ways known and unknown that we reject and undermine your steadfast love. Though you made us your people, we treat strangers with suspicion. Though you forgave our debts, we collect without mercy. Yet we are quick to pass judgment on others. Have mercy on us, O God, and remember your promise to us. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Through the living word, Jesus Christ, God forgives your every debt, your every sin, and gives you a new heart and a new spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. Sovereign God, raise your throne in our hearts. Created by you, let us live in your image. Created for you, let us act for your glory. Redeemed by you, let us give you what is yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
Anyone would like to come and join us in singing for the cantata? We will be starting our practice at 6:15 this coming Wednesday, so please come and join us. It's a very wonderful group. The reading for today is found in the First Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Most likely, this letter is the first written by Paul. Paul is giving pastoral encouragement and reassurances to new Christians living in an antagonistic pagan environment. Their commitment to faith, love, and hope makes them a model for other new Christian communities. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. Here ends the lesson for today. The psalm we will read responsively is Psalm 96, and where you see the bold R, you will repeat the refrain. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Proclaim God's salvation from day to day.
Declare God's glory among the nations and God's wonders among all peoples.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, more to be feared than all gods. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power.
As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols, but you, O Lord, have made the heavens.
Majesty and magnificence are in your presence. Power and splendor are in your sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord honor and power.
Ascribe to the Lord the honor due to the Holy Name. Bring offerings and enter the courts of the Lord. Ascribe to
worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before the Lord, all the earth.
Tell it all among the nations. The Lord is King, the one who made the world so firm that it cannot be moved, will judge the peoples with equity.
Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea thunder and all that is in it. Let the field be joyful in all that is therein.
Then shall all the trees of the wood shout for joy at your coming, O Lord, for you come to judge the earth.
You will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with your truth.
Ascribe to the Lord honor and power.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this 19th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew. After Jesus begins teaching in the temple, religious leaders try to trap him with questions. First, they ask if God's people should pay taxes to an earthly tyrant like Caesar. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I thought we'd talk about taxes. I know that's a topic that everyone loves and appreciates. I was riding down the freeway over in Pennsylvania on my vacation, and there was a great big sign and lots of little signs put up saying, "Stop paying taxes, pay no taxes." And we were on the interstate freeway, which, I mean, you got to pay to keep up if you don't want to run through all kinds of holes. I thought that was a little funny. The one thing I would like them to do would be to stop paying taxes on toll roads on those going around Chicago. That's probably the worst system you ever have. We all complain about taxes, huh? According to an item in the Week magazine a while back, the tax authorities in a city in southern India found a new way to handle tax evaders. What they did was they sent teams of drummers to stand outside of the homes of people who hadn't paid their taxes, and they just pounded noisily, sometimes for hours, until the people came out and paid them up. It was embarrassing to the people. All the neighbors knew the guy was a tax, avoiding his taxes. And in fact, in that article said that the city fathers started getting letters from other cities around them asking how they did that. They collected just under $1 million by doing that, I guess. The people in Jesus' time, I think, felt the same way about taxes. But paying taxes was even more problematic to them. For one thing, they had to use Roman currency to pay their taxes. And Roman currency had the image of Caesar on it. A devout Israelite wouldn't even carry a Roman coin because it was considered a violation of the commandment that had to do with graven images. The currency was one problem, but even more of a problem was the whole tax system itself. According to a theologian that we've used in all of our Bible studies here, William Barclay, this is what he says. He says a tax was payable for using the main roads, the harbors, and the markets. A tax was payable on a cart, on each wheel of the cart, and on the animal which drew the cart. Tax collector could bid a man stop on the road and unpack his bundles and charge him well nigh whatever he liked. If a man could not pay, sometimes the tax collector would offer to lend him money at an exorbitant rate of interest and so get him further into his clutches. Now, we complain about the IRS here, but they're sweethearts compared to the tax collectors in Jesus' time. That's why they were so hated. Still, taxes were a fact of life back then. They're a fact of life right now. All of this is background for today's lesson. The Jews, after Jesus had taught in the temple, wanted to trip Jesus up. And so they bring some Herodians, people who followed and represented the governor Herod, send them, and they ask Jesus a question. Teacher, we know that you're a man of integrity. We know you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others, because you pay no attention to who they are. I mean, you're a man of your own being. Tell us then, what's your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes, the imperial tax to Caesar, or not? This is a dangerous crowd for the master, because if he said, don't pay the taxes, he'd be in trouble with the Romans, and the Herodians were there to listen. And if he said, pay your taxes, he'd offend his own people who honored the not having to deal with coins that had the image of Caesar on it. And Jesus knew what they were doing. You hypocrites, he says. Why are you trying to trap me? Show me a coin. And they bring him a denarius, and he asks, whose image is this? Caesar's. So give back to Caesar what is Caesar, and give to God what is God's. And the people hear this teaching, and they say, boy, this guy is not a Finlander. So they leave him and go away. And this has become one of Jesus' most famous statements. Give back to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what is God's. Supporting our government is part of our responsibility as citizens. You know that and I know that. We may agree or not agree with the way they spend it all the time. That's our right and one of our most precious rights that we can disagree. Actually, it's a long-standing American tradition to make fun of government officials. Did you know that? When I was on vacation, we went out to Gettysburg and then down to the land of Lincoln. I read a quote by John Adams. He said, in my many years, I have come to a conclusion that one useless man is a shame, two useless men is a law firm, and three or more is a Congress. Mark Twain, he says, suppose you were an idiot, and suppose you were a member of Congress, but then I repeat myself.